some people have this sort of feeling that, well, no, actually Christianity has lost and it's on the decline, but it's been not allowed to compete.
Well, I mean, I would even back up from that and say, no, it hasn't. What has been on the decline and losing is superficial and false Christianity. Mm-hmm. But like the real church keeps carrying on. And so, like, to go back to Aaron's question, what are we going to do about this pluralism? The answer is the church just be the church.
Welcome to The Sacred Life. I'm your host, Aaron Beachy, coming to you from Higher Ground Fellowship in Kokomo, Indiana. We at The Sacred Life are dedicated to practical Christian ideas. And today, we will be discussing pluralism. And we have joining us today, John Baylor and David Baylor. And David is going to introduce our subject for us. David, what is pluralism?
Okay, yeah, so when we're talking about pluralism, so we're kind of continuing this off of a discussion talking about education and sort of the secularism of education in the United States. And we're bringing out this idea of pluralism, which what we mean by that is kind of like a society that's open to all beliefs. And I guess kind of the argument that we've put at the basis of this discussion is that that's actually an impossible idea, that a society cannot function on the basis strictly of pluralism. And like also that pluralism, like being open to all beliefs and not having a single unifying idea, quickly collapses into basically paganism. I mean, that's essentially what paganism is. Like I made the argument in that video, and I'll just recap it briefly, that paganism is just basically an idea, like basically a belief system that doesn't have a single unifying God, or we could expand that, a single unifying idea. Instead has this idea that God is inaccessible. So what that means is that you're left with all of these lesser things, all of the lesser gods, lesser deities. So like that's what we are in a pluralistic society, is a society with no higher purpose, no higher aim, no higher unifying God, you could say.
So in a pluralistic society, what unites us is the fact that we're not united.
Yeah, right. But the problem with that is that it actually doesn't work in reality, and like will always collapse into some sort of tyranny. Like you see that throughout history. Like look at ancient Egypt, for example, which is just like trying to figure out, okay, which tyranny are we going to go with for this period of our history? And of course, Rome. Like Rome is just becoming this like this self-serving thing, and like the reason Rome expands and becomes imperialistic is because the empires, like the emperors, I mean, like they have to consolidate their own power because like that's all they're left with, because as pagans they don't have a higher unifying deity. The thing that unites them is power.
So practically speaking, why does you believe what you believe and I believe what I believe not work?
Well, because how are we ever going to accomplish anything?
But isn't that the way it is now, though? I mean,
but like, well, what are we accomplishing now? Like, honestly, like since the United States has fallen fully into pluralism, we've basically accomplished nothing.
Right.
Like, I would make that argument. I don't know if you would have anything to say to that.
I mean, the one thing we may have accomplished, just real quick.
Yeah, okay.
The one thing we may have accomplished since we have fallen full on into pluralism is that we have basically made ourselves the plague of the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But go ahead, John.
There is that.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, like, you need to be a little more specific, because you say we can't accomplish anything, but like, it, you know, if I'm working on a construction crew and the guy that I'm working with isn't the same religion as me, I mean, you know, we could still carry bricks around.
Yes, and so this actually brings out the point, like, because what I was going to do is come back around and say that, like, but the tricky thing about that statement is that the United States actually isn't pluralistic. It's just that we have a much more subtle unifying principle. Like, maybe we'll call it democracy. It's like, that's our God, or liberalism, maybe that's our God. So in the case of a construction project, working with a person of a different religion, your religion is actually irrelevant to the fact that you're working on a construction project. What is relevant to the construction project is that you are unified by the plan of mm-hmm. building this building.
Right.
So it's like when we're expanding that upward to the scale
okay,
of
so that's society, yeah, that's where I want to go with that because yeah. like we can accomplish things because we can be united in those things, but where does it break down the
yeah.
fact that we're not united toward the, you know, the highest purpose?
Yeah, and I would just say like, well, I mean, look at the West right now, especially the United States. Like the United States, I think, is far worse off than this than Europe seems to be, but it's just like, name a single thing that the United States is united in. Like, find one.
Good, yeah, that's a good point.
But consider also the, you know, you used the term accomplishments before, so that's what I want to keep going with, is like, the United States has accomplished things. I think part of the rebuttal is what you said about the United States becoming a plague to the rest of the world, because that will be the case with a lot of these accomplishments. But our accomplishments in science and technology and industry over the last 100 years have certainly been impressive. Mm-hmm. And also our accomplishments in entertainment have led the world in terms of music and in terms of movies and television and all that.
Yeah. So like divide that 100 years into a period of 2 and compare the first 50 to the second 50.
Yeah.
And say like, in which of those 2 segments in that 100 years did we accomplish all of those things?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first 50.
Right.
And then that second 50, it's like we've just kind of been coasting.
Yeah.
So it's like you brought out entertainment. It's like in the last 50 years, it's like entertainment has been in the downward spiral.
Right.
But so has our science and our technology.
Yeah, I think there's a sense in which like our like the power of Silicon Valley makes it seem like that's not the case.
Yeah.
But
the power of Silicon Valley has also been broken, and like it's in a lot of ways. So
well, like you mentioned, that like divide the 100 years into 2. Like the first 50 years, you would have had a president that would have said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And while you can find flaws in that statement, the idea still generally was that you're part of something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now it's not that, it's the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
But to go beyond that, how has the church fallen into the idea of pluralism?
I think before you shift to that, okay, so we'll come back to that, how has the church fallen into the idea of pluralism? But your first comment made me think of something I saw from John Stewart, who was saying, I mean, he's not, you know, an authority that I quote often, but was saying that we don't have a mandatory draft in the country, and we don't really want one, but we need to have something that unifies us as a people, where we can all come together and work on something together. Maybe there's some sort of mandatory service project or something that we could be doing. I mean, I don't think he's going to get his wish, because whatever our government comes up with as a mandatory service project, half of the country is going to say, we don't want any part of this. The service that you're trying to do is not something that I want to bring about in this world.
Yeah, and I would just say the error that John Stewart has in his way of thinking is that...
Well, he wants it to be built on the government.
Yeah, like, and he's a person who's not going to be willing to recognize that thing has to be religion.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm going to actually ignore Aaron's question. Well, because like where we actually wanted to get to in this discussion was actually pointing out this idea of the impossibility of pluralism.
You're so rude to Aaron.
but especially looking at, okay, what is a proper picture of a society that's unified? how does that work in terms of Christianity, and where does a Christian fit, and where does the where do those that are outside of that fit?
Okay, so I'm still gonna, you're just gonna ignore Aaron, but I'm just gonna continue to prevent the subject from being changed.
Well, I'm trying to keep the subject onto the actual subject.
So we were talking about accomplishments. You said, well, in the last 100 years or whatever, like all of our real accomplishments were in the first 50 of those last 100, mm-hmm. and we've been in decline since that point. And I think there's also a lot of concern right now because of the state of education, not to make this another education talk, but because of the state of education, that we will continue in this decline in the short-term future, and probably therefore in the long-term as well.
Right.
So that's a concern. I think a lot of the accomplishments that we've made are not going to be lasting accomplishments. And I mean, maybe again, you can say the first half of the 20th century, maybe we've got some things that are going to be lasting accomplishments in terms of entertainment. I think as a musician, I think that the music from the late 60s is still relevant, is still canonical in the sense that artists can continue to tap into it and draw on it. And very little of what's come since then is that way. And when you imagine, okay, 200 years from now, is any of our music going to endure? Because we listen to music from 200 years ago and from 300 to 400 years ago. What are people going to be listening to right now? I mean, from right now. What are people going to be listening to from our times? And I think there are probably going to be a few acts from the 60s. And I don't think there's going to be anything since then that people listen to 200 years from now. And when it comes to movies, then I think it's the same thing. I think what we call the golden age of movies, I think there are still going to be people that tap into that. And maybe there are some more recent things that will have this sort of timeless quality to them, but I don't think that they're things that our society is producing right now. Because it's basically all Disney that owns everything.
Yeah.
And the stuff that they're making right now is just, it doesn't have staying power. So even when we can look at our accomplishments and say, we're doing some incredible things right now, look at our music industry, look at how powerful it is and how wealthy it is, and look at our movie industry and how powerful and incredible it is. Those things, again, I don't think those things are going to be significant. When you look at the buildings that we're building, they're not even capable of lasting that long. People are gonna bulldoze them because they're ugly, but they're also gonna bulldoze them because they're just gonna fall apart. Yeah. We're not accomplishing things on accomplishing things of such quality that they deserve to last.
Well, one thing that I thought of, I actually thought of this earlier today in relation to something, is Jesus says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's like, well, here you kind of see
mm-hmm.
how that actually works itself out in the world, because everything that we're doing today is done almost exclusively, purely after the pursuit of money. Like, if there is a God to America, it is money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since we're building buildings, like, contrast that to the building of a medieval cathedral, which might take 150 years to build a church.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
But everybody who started that project, the architect who designed it, and the mason who headed up the project, and every worker on that, knew they were never going to see this building.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when we as modern people ask, why would they even have done that?
Yeah.
And in contrast today, like, the reason we're not going to build a limestone cathedral today is because it's not cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
It would be way too expensive. We don't want to spend our money on that. And the reason we build things the way we do, or the reason we're producing the movies, nobody even cares making movies today or making TV shows today if anybody's gonna watch them in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about that. All they care about is, how much money is this gonna make in the box office?
Yeah.
Or how many records am I gonna sell? Nobody's building a building today with the mindset of, I'm going to build something for
for posterity. Or I'm going to build something for the church. So like even when we're building, churches,
something
we're just
that's bigger than myself, you know, for posterity is like, I'm going to build something that is beyond myself and doesn't just serve me.
Right. Like even churches that we're building now are built just purely for the immediate need.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, love of money is the root of all evil.
Well, that's you know, just to pull this back into the idea of pluralism, I suppose the ultimate extreme of pluralism would be that every person is the center of his own religion. And if that's the case, then the highest thing that I can aspire to is the thing that serves me.
Yeah. Right.
And if I'm united with the community around me and with the society around me, then we could build a cathedral.
Yeah, that's
but
like
if I'm the God, then I can't do very much.
If you have a higher aim, a higher purpose, you're going to accomplish things. You're going to build things of great beauty. You're going to build things that last. You're going to build things with the thought of this is something that's going to serve generations. You're going, like I said, you're going to accomplish things. If you don't have any higher purpose, you're not even going to understand why people would even want to do that.
Right.
This is going to be so foreign to your thinking. Mm-hmm. That's what I see today is I bring up that thing about the people designing and building the medieval cathedral. What I imagine a modern person thinks when he hears that is like, well, why would you even do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why would this city even decide to build a cathedral that nobody alive is going to see?
Yeah. Well, you just kind of answered my question that you so rudely shoved away a few minutes back.
Yeah, I think at this point, like, we're probably not going to get back to the original subject in this video, so.
I think we're basically there, so. You know, I tried my best to bring pluralism back into this with this ultimate individualism. Carl Jung said that the logical conclusion of the Protestant Reformation was that every man would be his own church. And so, you know, I think maybe, Aaron, that also kind of brings the discussion back into your question of how has the church become pluralistic?
Now, it's important to note Carl Jung said that probably, I would have guessed probably in like the 20s, somewhere around there.
That's a good guess.
And I'm bringing that out in context of our 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Carl Jung is making that statement, like basically right at the start of that 100-year period,
mm-hmm.
and predicting what's going to happen in that 100-year period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, even then, at the beginning of this pluralistic experiment, he could see what was coming.
Well, I wouldn't say he was anywhere close to the beginning of it.
Well, I mean, maybe towards the beginning of the effects of it.
Well, you know, I mean, just to use our last education discussion as our context, then it's sort of fair to call that the beginning of it. Because at that time in our education in America, we basically have Christian education that's taking place in our public school system. We have this sense that we are united around one ultimate purpose, and we're still like a bunch of Protestant sects that are competing with one another and, you know, I mean, aren't cooperating with one another, but are finding ways to condemn one another. So we still have that sort of division that exists within us, but there is this sense of unity under the banner of Christianity.
Right. So what is the thing that we should be doing to go the opposite direction of this pluralism? Because, you know, it's really easy. I mean, it's really, really easy to sit here and talk about, well, this is what we've done. This
mm-hmm.
is how we've gotten
right.
here.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm just going to say essentially nothing.
What?
Well, because, I mean, we kind of brought this out in our last video, all right, last education video, is that one thing we can be assured of as Christians is that Christianity will always win in the end.
Yeah.
And that, and I brought up the story of Noah, and it probably wasn't obvious what I meant with that, but it's like basically what that story promises is that pluralism and chaos will never win. And And that's reiterated throughout the Old Testament, and then especially in the New Testament. It's that, like, that's not how it's gonna work out. So we can be assured, like we brought this out in the previous video, we can be assured that if Christianity is placed in an environment where it has to compete with other ideologies, then it's going to win. And when we were talking between videos, I made the statement, the early Christians during the Roman Empire were quite fine with living in a pluralistic society because they knew they would win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so, and again, you're referencing that previous conversation, but some of the idea in there also is that what's happened, I think some people have this sort of feeling that, well, no, actually Christianity has lost and it's on the decline, but it's been not allowed to compete.
Well, I mean, I would even back up from that and say, no, it hasn't. What has been on the decline and losing is superficial and false Christianity. Mm-hmm. But like the real church keeps carrying on. And so, like, to go back to Aaron's question, what are we going to do about this pluralism? The answer is the church just be the church.
Mm-hmm.
And like forget about what's going on in the government.
Yeah.
Like, because one thing I wanted to say is that, so in the Middle Ages, the church is not, how should I say, the church is not an organization. I would say it's not an institution. Like, I'm just going to use, I guess, religious language here. The medieval church is not a earthly institution. Because there actually is no, like, sure, there are organizations and there's a sort of a hierarchy going on, and there are organizations and institutions to a degree. But when medieval people are talking about the church, they are not talking about the Pope of Rome. They're not talking about what they themselves would have recognized as the earthly institution of the church. They are talking about, you would say, the heavenly church, the heavenly kingdom of God, and seeing that as something that is actually separate from its earthly manifestations. And like, if you don't believe me, read Augustine. Like, he outright says that. He outright says the physical manifestations of the church are not the church. The church is something else. And that's what people believed in the Middle Ages. And so what happens is we've forgotten that. And we see the church as being the earthly institution. And like that's what's losing, is that earthly institution.
Mm-hmm.
But like the actual church is just fine.
That's why you were okay with starting the building of a church and knowing it would take 150, 200 years for it to be completed, because you saw it as being beyond something that exists here on this earth, or being something representative of that. Well, do you guys have anything else you'd like to offer before we end our discussion?
Are we going to do a part two?
I would say so.
Okay. Then I have nothing else to add at this time.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today on The Sacred Life, and we ask that you offer your comments and your questions down below. Subscribe, share with your friends, get it out there. We appreciate that. We appreciate your feedback very much. We want to thank you for joining us today on The Sacred Life, and we wish you peace in Christ.